unfortunately, the Trump administration seems to be taking action that's setting himself up, if you can say it that way, for starting a new war, even though he campaigned against doing that in Venezuela. And there was this claim a couple of days ago that Trump admitted, actually not didn't claim, he said that he talked to Maduro and told him that basically you have a week to leave. Well, there was a lot of rumors that have been floating around the last couple of days that Maduro was leaving, that he was at an airfield near the border, et cetera. Those all turned out to be true. And this morning, he was defiantly dancing out in the open before huge crowds of supporters in Caracas and basically said, "We do not want peace of slaves, nor do we want peace of colonies," Maduro is claimed to have said. Where is this going? What do you think is going to happen here?
Well, I think, as we mentioned earlier, if you're the leader of a great power like the United States and you make threats and then you assemble forces, you are occasionally expected by the rest of the world to carry through on your threats and use those forces. I am afraid that's where we are. I suspect that from the very beginning, luminaries like Elliot Abrams, who was in previous administrations, a strong neocon Zionist and a big advocate for intervention in Venezuela, the destruction of Iran, the destruction of Russia, or anything else, I think he and others have tried to persuade the president that this is a cakewalk. And you'll probably never have to use the military power that you've got anyway. They'll fold. They'll go away. Now, I've sat with some people that have lived for as long as 9 years down in Venezuela, people with military and intelligence backgrounds, and they all told me the same thing. They said, sure, there are people that don't like Maduro. There's no question about it. But they don't like the idea of the United States shoving some puppet down their throats. And they are proud of their country and its past, its history, and they will fight to defend it. I think that's where we are. It's very clear that they will fight to defend it. The question that President Trump needs to ask, I doubt he's watching us, but if he is, he should go back to the methodology of purpose, method, end state. He should ask the military and the State Department leaders that are behind this, what is the political military objective for our military power? What are we really trying to achieve with military power? And is that objective that you're going to, you know, explain in detail actually attainable? You can always come up with political military objectives that are fantasy worlds. Oh, we want to do this. Well, you know, we all want $10 million. But, you know, you're not going to whip it up with a magic wand. So what are you trying to achieve? Is that attainable? That's number one. Second, what's your methodology for attaining this? How does the military power that you've assembled result in the outcome that you've just described? And then finally, when this is over, what's the end state? What do we want things to look like, not just in Venezuela, but in the Southern Caribbean Basin? What do we want to happen in neighboring countries? Because they will be affected by whatever we do. So what is the regional end state as a consequence of what you're doing? Nobody asks those questions in Washington. Nobody asks them on the way into Vietnam. The man who asked those hard questions in 1951-52 was Dwight Eisenhower. And he asked them about Korea. And the answers he received were absurd. Well, we need 850,000 men to invade Manchuria, take Beijing, and end this war. What? And Eisenhower said, I'm not going to tell the American people they need to support that. Nobody in the United States wants to send people to die in Manchuria to remove the Communist Party from power in Beijing. What, have you lost your minds? So he shut it down, and he drove an end to this thing. You know, that's what Trump needs to do. He needs to step back and say, gentlemen, you have lied to me and you've made a fool of me. No more. You're fired. He needs to get a new team.
He certainly should do that. I fear, like you, that he may have overextended, because now that he's put his credibility on the line, because now then what do you do next? If you've sent all this force down there and you have Maduro literally dancing in the street in defiance, I mean, it's hard for me to imagine how any scenario, there's some of the they have a little dance off. Maybe that's what they should do. They should be doing a dance off instead of a military operation. That I'm not sure who would lose that.
I think Donald Trump has better moves, frankly.
Well, there you go. He certainly has more audience participation there, and I guess that's the score. But well, in all seriousness,
you know what the best answer is? It's always the truth. I know that sounds awful. And
almost anachronistic, but man, do we love it here.
Yeah, but it really is. And Winston Churchill once said, I've had to eat my words on more than one occasion, and I always found them a full and sufficient meal. And I think that President Trump needs to say, I've reexamined all of this, and I don't see how our military power is going to result in the kind of change that we would like to see. And so I'm withdrawing our forces, and we will turn to other ways to achieve our ends in the future, one of which will be to talk directly with this government and see what we can achieve. And in the meantime, stay tuned, because in the next week, I will have announcements about new members of my team. There will be some changes in my cabinet and my advisory staff. But to do that, he'd have to be Eisenhower. He isn't.
Well, that's a very safe bet to say there. I wonder if you could just, whether it's your sources or just your experience having to do with the administration, why do you suppose that Trump didn't take the easy wins? Because at least according to reports, there's been two separate occasions, one where Maduro said basically you can have access to all of our oil and minerals, and as long as I stay in power. And then apparently on this phone call that happened a couple of days ago, he said, well, I'll just keep the military. You can even put your favorite person in the head of the government, this opposition figure that we're supporting. And apparently Trump said no to that too. Why would he say no to ones that would be huge political wins? It's like someone must be telling him, no, use the military tool here. What do you think?
Well, yeah, there's no question about it. We can speculate on who these people are. No doubt Marco Rubio, who's been crusading for intervention in Venezuela, not just there, other places in Central America, and ultimately in Cuba for many, many years. So I'm sure that he's had a major role to play. And remember who his intellectual mentor is. That's Bill Kristol, who's a leading neoconservative and Zionist. So I don't think it's hard to figure out where the theology originates or the ideology originates. That's clear. But President Trump, should have at least followed the advice of somebody like Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton only made one really dramatic mistake militarily during his tenure, and that was in the Balkans. Remember, he was castigated because he didn't want to go into Bosnia, for good reason. He didn't want another military commitment there, neither did his Secretary of Defense at the time, Bill Perry. They all realized, we have no strategic long-term interests in the Balkans. Gosh, imagine that. We want to see peace, but that's a matter for the Europeans. We'll back them, but we're not going to become involved. Subsequently, he buckled in Kosovo in a dramatic way and was dragged into that fight. He really didn't want that fight, and it went badly quickly. It was promised initially by General Wes Clark, and I think Madeleine Albright and Berger, the National Security Advisor, that this would end in 3 or 4 days or at most a week or 10 days, something like that. Well, that was a dumb thing to say because there's no evidence to support that. You were dealing with the Serbs. The Serbs are very tough people. 600,000 of them died fighting the Germans under occupation. Think about that. This is not something that you're going to witness in Serbia. The Serbs are not going to all fall apart and bend down and beg forgiveness. So this thing ultimately ends on day 78 because you send Strobe Talbot to Moscow to negotiate a deal and promise the Russians billions of dollars. I don't know the details, but that's what ended the thing. And we bombed the living daylights out of everything that didn't move because that's all we knew how to do at that point. And it was very clear that President Clinton said there will be no troops on the ground. I'm not going to become involved in a land war. And that was his only real mistake strategically because there was nothing at stake for us in that environment at all. And he ended it simply by telling everyone, you can bomb as much as you want. I'm sending Talbot to Moscow and there will be no ground troops. Well, that's a pretty clear exit strategy. Was it perfect? No, it was imperfect. But he escaped the trap. President Trump hasn't figured that out yet. And he's been trapped. Trapped in Venezuela, trapped in Ukraine, trapped in the Middle East.
Well, let's hope that somehow he does what you suggested a second ago and brings out a big broom and sweeps out a lot of these guys who have given him a lot of this bad advice, because he's still got 3 full years to go here. So we need to keep that in mind, too. But in any case, this is crystal clear. You gave President Trump some great advice at the end of his first term about the Afghan war, and that turned out like you said it would. So let's hope that somehow somebody gets this video to him, and maybe he'll listen to you this time, too, for the sake of the country. I hope that he does. But thanks so much for coming on today with this clarity drug. We always appreciate it.
Thanks, Dan.
And we appreciate you guys, too. And be sure and log into our Apple Podcast, Spotify, or Podcast Addict. A lot of people really like to get this information via podcast. Share this with your friends, because I know a lot of folks that really like the podcast route, or we're getting a bigger audience in there. Also on the written format, DanielDavisDeepDive.substack.com. You will find us sitting there too, and be sure and share that with your friends who like the written form. That's also a place we're expanding into. We've been expanding also onto Rumble. So you can find us really in all kinds of places here, because we are unintimidated and uncompromised to bring you the truth no matter what it is. And we want to make sure that we get this spread to as many folks as possible. Do us a favor, like and subscribe if you haven't, but even more so if you have, share this with somebody else on a format that they really like. Thank you very much, folks. We'll look forward to seeing you on the next episode of the Daniel Davis Deep Dive.